If there is somebody here today and you are saying, here am I, Lord, to your word, to worship, and to the work, I am available. A recommitment to being resolute, unswerving, totally committed to the cause of Christ.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening concludes our series of messages on the Book of Revelation. We trust the series has been a blessing to our radio audience. Our minister of the Word this evening, Dr. Raphael Thomas, says, quote, "The Book of Revelation is not simply informational, it is invitational," end quote. We heard last week, as Dr. Thomas described the blessings of the River of Life and the Tree of Life, how Jesus Christ has brought the power of the age to come into our lives today, even as the best is yet to come. So we invite you now to turn to Revelation chapter 22 and listen with us as Dr. Thomas brings the concluding part of his message, Eternal State, Part 2. Here again is Dr. Thomas.
So the first connection with the first creation was the river, the water of life. The second connection is the tree of life. I want to make a third connection, which says to us, there will be no more curse there. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Now, one of the things that describe the effects of sin is curse. Man was cursed. The devil was cursed. The earth was cursed. But God has drawn up a plan. Way back then, from in the book of Genesis, Genesis 3:15, he gave the first messianic prophet, a prophecy. It says, there shall be enmity between the seed of the woman and the serpent. The serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman will bruise his head. A direct reference to the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came to put the curse in reverse. Jesus Christ came and bore the curse for us. Sin caused a curse upon man, upon the world. The whole creation is waiting for the redemption. Throughout the Old Testament, we have warnings of the curse. Do these things, obey the law, or you will be cursed. It runs from Genesis 3, where the curse begins. It runs throughout the Old Testament. And if you look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, it is the last word of the Old Testament. The Old Testament ends with the word curse. But thank God, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 tells us, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but man who does them shall live by them. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God has dealt decisively in the person of Jesus Christ with the curse. And so the book of Revelation can issue blessings instead of curse. No wonder there are seven beatitudes in the book of Revelation. In chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep them and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. There is blessing promised to those who keep the word of the prophecy. Revelation 14, verse 13 says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" Revelation 16, 15 says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Revelation 19, 9, "Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.'" Revelation 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power." When you are blessed in the Lord, you have power over death. We look forward to that time when it shall come to pass. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For death is swallowed up in victory. The sting, you know, there is something about the sting of death, that sting of sin. It reminds me of the difference between the wasp and the bee. The wasp is able to sting you and still live to sting somebody else. But the bee has only one sting. And once that one sting is let out, the bee dies. Well, death had one sting. Hallelujah. Yeah. Death had one sting. And Jesus took the sting of death. Hallelujah. And he was buried. And he remained in the grave. But on the third day, he rose triumphantly. And he proved himself to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He has won the victory over death. And he says, "Because I live, you shall live also." Blessed are those who take part or who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's interesting to note that they will reign with him in the millennial kingdom. But even after the millennial kingdom, as we see here in chapter 22, we are also going to reign with him. If we look at verse 5, "They shall reign forever and ever." Because that was the original plan when God created man. The Bible says God blessed him and God said to man, "Be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the animals. And you shall rule over the earth in the eternal state." Not only will we be worshiping, but we will be reigning with him. And we come to Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. If you are counting, this is the fifth beatitude. "Behold, I am coming quickly." And somebody points out that word "quickly" there brings the idea of things happening very fast. So once things start to happen, it is going to be so fast. So he that is holy will be holy still. He that is righteous will be righteous still. There will be no more time to change. In fact, it will happen so fast, we are going to say "Halle" on this side and "Hallelujah" on the other side. Revelation 22, verse 7, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And verse 14, Revelation 22, 14, "Blessed are those who do his commands, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." I have to point out that in this verse, there is what is called a variant reading. So depending on what translation you are using, some translations say, blessed are they who wash their garments. Now, in the Bible, there are some variant readings, but there is no major teaching that hangs on these variant readings. So if we were to take, blessed are those who wash their robes, it would still be consistent with the teaching of Revelation, because the eternal state is reserved for those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible tells us only those who overcome will enter the city. And the only way we overcome is that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So we are blessed when we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are blessed when we are covered and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So the curse was put in reverse by the cross of Jesus Christ. And the blessings were released in Jesus Christ. For he took our curse, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. The blessing which says, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And those who bless you I will bless, and those who curse you I will curse. So those are the three connections. And if I am seeing the clock right, I might be in a bit of a trouble. But since this is the last presentation on Revelation, we should have no hesitation. Having looked at the connection, let us now look at the call. When all is said and done, what does God want me to do? Why study the book of Revelation? We have been saying it is not just about information. It is about invitation. Because God has drawn back the curtains of time to give us a glimpse of what is going to happen. It is not just for us to know more, but it should affect our life. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, it has implications for how we treat the word of God. Behold, I am coming quickly. In the face of the realization that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is near, what am I to do? We are to pay attention to the word of God. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Now, this becomes very important as the end of time draws closer. Because in right under our feet, the sands are slipping. The stage is being set for the emergence of the new world order, as the world terms it. We know the real new world order will come in the new Jerusalem. But there is a move afoot to reconstruct and reconfigure society and redefine terms in such a way that cut against the very core of the word of God. Even to undermine God's creative order. We have heard of persons already losing jobs because they would dare to affirm the word of God that there are two genders. But what are we going to do when laws are changed to directly oppose the word of God? You see, I believe the days are over in which the Western church is favored by the culture and governments of our society. We are going back to a state which is similar to that of the New Testament church. And some people are saying we are going to be a minimal church with maximum impact. Even if we have to meet in smaller groups, let the church be the church. Because Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. And we call on the body of Christ to adorn yourself. Make ready, for very soon we are going to hear the shout, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Keep your ears attuned, for very soon there shall be the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. My brothers and sisters, it will soon be over. Hold fast to the word of God. We cannot afford to compromise at this time. Even if some of us have to go to jail for the word of God, we will not deny God nor his word. For the word of God is forever settled in heaven. We must be unflinching and unswerving. We must be resolute to obey our commander in chief. His name is Jesus. For God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then shalt thou have good success, and thou shalt make your way prosperous. I call us, the Spirit of God calls us, as we close our study, do not depart from the word of God. Hold fast to the word. Secondly, he calls us to worship, and I have to sum up. Just give me a minute or two. He is calling us to true worship in verse 9. It says, worship God. You see, God wants us to live in his presence. Verse 4 tells us, they shall see his face. They shall serve him. They are sealed by him. And verse 5, they shall reign with him. One of the things that we desire is to live in the presence of God. It makes a difference when we entertain the presence of God. Yes, God is everywhere at the same time, but there is a difference when we are entertaining, when we are showing reverence, when we are showing regard to the holiness and the very presence of God. We'll be able to come forth like Elijah, who stood before Ahab and said, "In the name of the Lord God of Israel, in whose presence I stand, there will neither be rain nor dew upon the earth except by my word." It makes a difference when we live in the presence of God. When we have that connection with God, when we have that fellowship with God, we cannot allow the things of this world to contaminate our worship, because the Bible says the hour cometh and now is, when those who worship the Lord shall worship in spirit and in truth. And the text goes on to say, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Can he find a true worshiper? When people say you're not to worship like that, out of your innermost being, you offer to God a worship that is pleasing to his name, that goes up to God like sweet smelling savor, that is not just form but substance, something that God is glorified with, something that God is pleased with. Oh, that we would give him true worship. A.W. Tozer says, worship is the missing jewel of the evangelical church. May we give him worship. Worship in songs, worship in praise, worship in prayer. May we give him all the worship. May we give him all the praise. May we give him the honor and the glory that is due unto his name. Unreservedly. For Revelation tells us he is worthy. He is worthy to open the seals. He is worthy to receive the honor and the praise and the glory. It has implications for how we treat the word. It has implications for how we worship. It also has implications for how we work. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. It says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." God holds us accountable for the work that he has left in our care. The Bible tells us the master went and left the instruction, "Occupy till I come." We are not only called to occupy every other bench. We are called to occupy in the work of God. Amen. To make ourselves busy, to be engaged in the work like Jesus. He says, "I must work the works of him who sent us while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Soon working time will be over." So let us heed the word of that good old hymn. Let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. As I close, the story is told of a group led by Professor Edwin Orr in 1940 of Wheaton University to England, where they visited a number of sites that were prominent in revivals. They made a stop at Epworth Rectory, which was the part-time home of John Wesley. And as they toured that house, they went into John Wesley's room and they looked at a mat which had two holes in it. And they were shown those holes as the place where John Wesley prayed. His two knees dug those holes in the mat. And as they gathered to go back on the bus, they were awaiting one student who was missing. They started looking for that one who was missing. And the professor went back in John Wesley's room to find that student. And indeed, that student was in that room, kneeling right at that spot. And he said, "You have to go now." But that student was praying that God would do it again. And Billy Graham arose and joined the others on the bus. Billy Graham is going to be with the Lord. Louis Palau is going to be with the Lord. Some other great evangelists have gone on. Where are those for this generation? It is my prayer that God would do it again.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.